Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
If you like weird and strange history as much as I do, then I have the podcast for you. I'm Jason Horton, host of Strange Year. Each episode, I break down the strange history and cultural happenings during that year, like 1977, the Wow Signal, 1963, Three Tramps Theory, 1844, the Millerite Movement, 1997, the Phoenix Lights, 1896, the Shortest War, 2004, Benjamin Kyle, 1518, the Dancing Plague, 1985, the Move Bombing, 1972, Remote Viewing. So to get your weekly weird history fix, pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Strange Year wherever you listen to podcasts. A giant dot-com bomb. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
So, one of my favorite things to read about right now is all of the money and time spent and hype around the early internet, specifically the dot-com boom and the fail of it. So this week we're going to be talking about boo.com. Do you remember boo.com?
It sounds familiar, but I don't, but maybe as you explain it, it'll come to me.
It was boo.com is a short-lived British internet company founded in 1998 by Swedes Ernst Malmsten, Katja Leander, and Patrick Hedlund. And they were these sophisticated internet entrepreneurs in Europe. They created an online bookstore named Bocus.com. I don't know if you remember that. It was the third largest book retailer e-retailer in 1997. So they had this clout because they had this successful book, essentially like pre-Amazon bookstore. And then they founded Boo.com. So it was one of those things which I love. It's so deliciously hyped for so long, and then just like staggers its way into oblivion. It was intended to become the largest online sports e-retailer in the world, planning to set up stores in Europe and America. It was originally, the name was supposed to be Bo.com, B-O, which was inspired by Bo Derek, which already feels misguided. In 1997, what 20-year-old...
Terrible branding, because I thought originally Boo was like, ooh, it's a Halloween Boo store.
Yeah, no, it's an online sports e-retailer. The final domain name was boo.com, B-O-O, and it was bought for $2,500 from a dealer because bo.com was just already in use. So they're like, I don't know, let's just change our whole branding because this is inconvenient for us. So that's where we're starting with. We're starting the foundation level, already very misguided. After several highly publicized delays, boo.com launched in the autumn of 1999, selling branded fashion apparel over the internet. The target customers of Boo.com were young, wealthy, fashionable people between the ages of 18 and 24, and they were supposed to be attracted by sports and fashion brands offered by Boo.com. It also, which this is something that I think I vaguely remember, Boo.com's big perk was this virtual shopping assistant, which was Miss Boo, who would accompany, it was like a Ask Jeeves type of thing where it would like be with you on the site. Assisting customers with tips to give at each step, fashion stuff, ways to navigate the site. Boo.com also developed technology that allowed online customers to put their chosen products onto 3D models of themselves and inspect the result. This is all happening in 1997.
That's pretty, I guess it's pretty advanced.
The idea is advanced. Yeah. I think it's a very innovative idea, but the technology at the time, think about what kind of internet you had in 1997.
Chat 90s chat rooms.
Right. It's like dial up was a problem. Like I remember like trying to download a song. It's just like it was all a big deal. So the idea of a 360 view of oneself and you could try on the clothes and see how they looked in different vantage points and I don't even know how that would work. It would look profoundly bad or not at all happening. The company had its headquarters along Carnaby Street in London in a building which initially shared a space with the Erotic Review magazine. It had 40 employees. In October 1999, it had a total of 8 offices and then 400 employees in Amsterdam, Munich, New York City, Paris, and Stockholm. It relaunched in the autumn of 2000 with Kate Bugalin, an ex-Bloomingdale's salesperson and internet consultant, appointed as president. She told Women's Wear Daily that they were working to expand beyond the portal business model into boot products and boot licensing. Staggering. Again, it's like moving really quickly, switching things up before we even really begin. The company spent $135 million of venture capital in just 18 months, and it was placed into receivership on May 18, 2000, and completely liquidated. So just a couple years. In June 2008, CNET hailed Boo.com as one of the greatest dot-com busts in history. So why did the company fail so hard? There's a lot of theories around it. Although there were several months of delays prior to launch and problems with the user experience when Boo.com first launched, they had been largely fixed by the time the company entered the receivership. Sales had grown rapidly and were actually around $500,000 for the 2 weeks prior to being shut down. So they were making a little bit of money, again, not enough to really cover all of the expenditures, specifically just the marketing. The fundamental problem was that a company was following an extremely aggressive growth plan, launching simultaneously in multiple European countries. This plan was founded on the assumption of the ready availability of venture capital money to see the company through the first 3 years of trading until sales caught up with operating expenses. Such capital ceased to be available for all practical purposes in the second quarter of 2000, following dramatic falls in the NASDAQ with all of the dot crash and the burst of the dot-com bubble. Boo was one of the numerous similar dot-com company failures over the 2 years that followed. So to all this venture capital, it used it up really quickly. It thought it would get more, and then it didn't. And honestly, we still see this really with startups, with app startups. Like, they get all this investment money. They think that that's going to like perpetuate itself, and then it doesn't, and they're gone. The Boo.com website was also widely criticized because it was horribly designed. The site relied heavily on JavaScript and Flash technology to display these like pseudo 3D views of wares, and then Miss Boo herself. Along with having to answer at least 5 questions once the site loaded, the site had many large pages, which meant most users who had generally fine internet in 1987 had to wait minutes for the homepage to load. Not a good look. So within 18 months, $135 million was spent, again, on marketing, and $25 million in advertising and public relations before it even opened to sell products. Once you were even allowed to buy a product, you would have to wait for the page to load, if it even did, to buy these things. To attract customers, the site developed a new internet virtual technology, which consumers could drag their intended clothes, like we said. And essentially, creditors, after a while, were just like, this is not cool. And by the time it closed, Boo.com owed around $24 million. Over 400 staff and contractors stopped getting paid, again, in all of these offices. It cost over $600 million to develop this technology with the 3D stuff, and they had to spend $0.5 million to maintain it every month. In a widely circulated article, former interim CTO Tristan Lewis broke down the problems that plagued the company in one of the first postmortems of a technology company posted online. Fashionmall.com, which had been operating since 1994, bought the remains of Boo.com, which included brand, web address, advertising materials, physical assets. The deal also included the Miss Boo character, Boo's main assets, its technology. The rest of it was sold to Brightstation, a British company run by internet entrepreneur Dan Wagner, for a mere $250,000. Less than $200 million was earned by selling Boo's remaining assets. So of the original global Boo.com staff, only one worked for both Boo.com incarnations. His name was Bill Burley. He was in the New York City office, and he was a retail executive buying merchandise and planning. He was hired by Fashionmall as the global fashion director of the new Boo. But in 2005, CNET called Boo.com the sixth greatest dot-com flop. In May 2007, Web Reservations International turned Boo.com into a travel site with reviews and listings. When the new site launched, it already had more than 1 million user reviews, which had been collected from existing WRI travel sites. They were not good. In October 2010, the new Boo.com site announced that it was closing down with effect from November 1st, 2010 on. As of November 2017, Boo.com redirects to hostelworld.com.
I'll tell you what website it doesn't take a long time to load.
Oh.
If you go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, loads right away.
Yeah, it's almost instantaneous. You don't have to wait minutes.
And we now have 3D models of us holding those bonus episodes.
You can put different dollar bills all over us. Yeah. You can see it from afar.
Well, it's the same $1 bill that just keeps sharing. So we're both naked and we both have to share this $1 bill. So you have to make your best
use
of it.
Figure out where that $1 bill goes, please, for our sakes and yours.
Yeah, but
our bubble's not going to burst.
Never. The podcast bubble will never burst.
There's one thing my grandparents taught me, immigrants from the old country, it's that always ride the podcast wave.